Welcome to Total Retail Talks, your podcast channel for retail knowledge.
Hello, and welcome to this episode of Total Retail Talks. I'm Joe Keenan of Total Retail. I am thrilled to be joined today by Bradford Manning, as well as his brother, Brian Manning. They are the co-founders of Two Blind Brothers, a retail website. They have a great story, and I'm excited to have them on the show. So thank you for joining me today, Bradford and Brian.
Thank you so much. We're excited to be here.
Yeah, Pop, thanks for having us.
Great. Well, as I noted, it really is a great story. So let's start there. Let's get into a little bit about the background of the story of, you know, how and why the two of you launched Two Blind Brothers.
Sure. So this is Brad Manning, the older brother, and I guess I'll go first, as I have throughout our childhood and lives. So Brian and I, we both have a rare retinal eye disease called Stargardt's disease. Stargardt's, it's a juvenile form of macular degeneration where you lose your center vision over time. A lot of people know macular degeneration from their parents or grandparents that have AMD, adult macular degeneration. We got a version of it when we were around 5 years old. And I'm about 5 years older than Brian. So I was diagnosed first. And essentially, this had always been kind of something that Brian and I shared. We were very lucky. We had amazing parents that, you know, really instilled in us not to let this actually be something that was going to hold us back. And, you know, we can get into sort of the whole story around the brand, but essentially we had this sort of serendipitous moment while we were working in different careers in New York City, decided we wanted to do something for a charity that we were very close to, the Foundation Fighting Blindness. And if you are blind or visually impaired, and shopping can be such a disaster because it's hard to see the prices, the labels, the sizes, you sort of use your sense of touch, figure out if you love what you're buying and love what you're feeling, and then you'll do all the other work to get it. And that was sort of the original concept to start this this clothing brand, Two Blind Brothers.
I'm gonna get into the charitable aspect of Two Blind Brothers. That's such a big piece of the company in a minute. But you mentioned, Brad, and that you and Brian hadn't started out in retail. You were kind of in these different professional careers. So I think for context for the audience, why don't the two of you tell us a little bit about your backgrounds? And then a second part to that, you know, tell us a little bit about what about retail was attractive to you? Why move into that industry, you know, from your prior careers?
Yeah, this is Brian. So prior to starting Two Blind Brothers, Brad and I both went to the University of Virginia. Brad moved up to New York and worked in finance for many years. I moved to Boston and then to New York, and I worked in technology sales for big data companies. So as you, most of your listeners probably realize, 100% overlap with fashion and apparel companies. Brad and I actually, when we were starting Two Blind Brothers, had no branding experience, no marketing experience, no fashion experience, no manufacturing experience. And, you know, as a boat of confidence, our dad told us that we were terrible dressers. So really had everything in the world working in our favor. And, you know, but the thing that was fascinating about fashion and apparel was this, as Brad said, this idea of touch. You know, when you're blind, you're visually impaired, and you're experiencing the world through your hands, you focus in on things, you key in on things. And we thought maybe there is something to that. Maybe there is something through this expression through your hands that you could make a garment or a piece of fashion so soft and comfortable and wonderful to wear that it would be inspiring. And the other great part about clothing is it's so universal, it's so accessible by so many, that having it focused more on that consumer brand side, we could have that conversation with so many folks. But to be very straightforward and honest, you know, we never started this project with big aspirations. We never thought we would be sitting down talking to you today. We never thought we'd be in a place that we were. We just wanted to start a little company that could make a few hundred shirts, sell them to friends and family, raise some awareness, and just try and do some good. And through a lot of hard work and a lot of good luck, we've gotten to where we are today.
Which is curious. You mentioned this kind of started. You didn't have this kind of grand vision for this big company. It probably started as a smaller project. As you saw, like, you know, hey, there's some consumer appetite for this, and this is a story, and, you know, people want to help. And, you know, this could be something bigger. Did you then go about, the two of you, okay, maybe we should bring, you know, build a team around us to help, or is it just still pretty much primarily the two of you? Do you want to talk a little bit about the organization itself and kind of how it's structured?
Sure. So, you know, as this is Brad, as Brian mentioned, you know, it really did start with the desire for us to have some fun and do some good for a cause we were close to. And it was sort of a nights and weekends project. You know, we always say that we're really not a great example of anybody who has sort of aspirations to build a big business or make a lot of money, you know, with a clothing brand. In fact, that I probably would recommend against that. I think we were lucky not to do a restaurant or a family band, but other than that, clothing is one of the most competitive industries. So what happened for us is a few lucky things. So we were in New York City. You know, we had access to the garment district. We had access to a couple friends that, you know, knew about sort of designing and doing some small batch, you know, production. And so we sort of relied on them. And then we had a friend who was a Starbucks barista by day, videographer by night, who offered to sort of put together this kind of 2-minute trailer on what we were trying to do. And we were really lucky that he was so talented and he really captured what we hadn't even really been able to articulate, or hadn't really even knew how we were going to position this brand, but we sort of trusted him. And that video started to get a lot of attention on social media and especially in the community, you know, that we were serving. And it led to a lot of cool opportunities. It led to, you know, some local news. It led to some of these social media news networks. And then, you know, one of the biggest things that happened for us was being on the Ellen DeGeneres show. And essentially, up until that moment, we were just the two of us and sort of an assistant at my former job. I was an analyst at a small investment company. It was just us. After that moment, we realized that it's so rare in life to get this much attention and this much tailwind on something you're so passionate about and can actually make an impact with. But that's when we decided to sort of, you know, hit the gas as hard as we could. We hired 3 people at that time. We, you know, upgraded the way we were producing the items and hired a couple more professional service providers. And that's when it sort of took its current form for the most part, which is, you know, a small team, four full-time people, and then a bunch of sort of outsourced help as well.
So you noted that Two Blind Brothers obviously has the charitable component to it and the, you know, the towards fighting eye disease and blindness. You donate 100% of the company's profits back to research for eye disease through the Foundation Fighting Blindness. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that relationship? Obviously, you're intimately, you know, connected to the charity. You noted that this is something you wanted to do to raise funds. You have some fun with it. Tell us a little bit about kind of that relationship you have with Foundation Fighting Blindness.
Yeah, so this is Brian. They're an amazing organization because basically, if you think 40 years ago, this gentleman, Gordon Gund, who was diagnosed with a blind disease called retinitis pigmentosa, you know, looked around and said, there's really no retinal eye research going on in the world today. And so he wanted to start a foundation to find these early stage researchers who are some of the best and brightest people on the planet to help get them some funds so that when larger pharmaceutical companies could come in and take these things to commercialization. And for 20 years, a lot of it was just trying to help these researchers build the science base. But some pretty incredible things have been happening recently. There's a disease called laborious congenital amaurosis, which is a blinding disease in children. They're just basically by the age of six, 100% blind. And 2 years ago, the first ever FDA gene therapy was approved for this drug, Luxturna, that takes a portion of those kids with LCA and gives them their sight back. They go from blind to sighted with this injection, which is magic. I mean, there really is no better word for it than true and honest magic. And that is beyond exciting for Brad and I, because, you know, over the last 20, 30 years of suffering from these diseases, we have heard, hey, no, there's it's a big opportunity, you know, 5 years from now, they'll be closer, or 5 years, you know, 5 years past and, you know, oh, 5 years in the future, you know, there might be a cure, and 5 years in the future, it might be a cure. And having that hope on the horizon is so important when you're challenged with one of these diseases, especially when you're first diagnosed. And it's incredible because those 40 years of work that FFB has done is now coming to those last 5 years. And it is giving so much hope and inspiration and happiness to a population of people that, you know, when you're diagnosed with a blinding disease, that's a really tough day, you know, and that's a really challenging period. But these stories are incredible. And so Brad and I wanted to raise money and donate to these early researchers so that they can be that next cure for the next disease. And so we can keep that hope alive and we can keep these brilliant rock star scientists moving forward to finding these cures.
Yeah, that's amazing, Brian. It's so cool. And you talk about hope, but I would imagine you guys can speak obviously from personal experience, not only hope for the patient, the somebody that's suffering from this, but as you mentioned, this is, you know, you're getting this diagnosis 5-6 years of age. I would imagine, you know, it's hope for parents too. They want to see that, you know, the best lives for their children. Do you want to talk about it from that too, from the kind of the patient, but also the family members and their others in their lives?
Yeah. So, you know, that's been one of the most kind of, that's the thing that kind of gets us up in the morning with this project is the community piece and all the folks that will, you know, get in touch with us, regarding exactly that situation, you know, that you described. And for us, it's kind of, I think one of the reasons that we're so compelled by it is for us, it's almost like going back in time and being able to, you know, talk to what would have been our mom or ourselves and give them the messages that, you know, maybe we learned or were told or, you know, or advice that we had gotten over time. That was the situation for Brian and I. You know, we were walked into a doctor's office at, you know, 5-6 years old. And the doctor says, you know, to our mom, you know, your son's got this rare eye disease. There is no cure. So take him home, teach him Braille and best of luck. And it is a hopeless moment. And, you know, that's actually the great, like we make shirts, you know, and we make clothing, we make, you know, these like soft accessories, but really we view that as one of our core, the core products that we're sort of trying to export into the world is the idea that we want to change that conversation from go home and good luck to there is hope. And, you know, it hit us that we never actually anticipated, maybe naively, the platform or the reach we would have with some of these families when we started the project. We didn't even assume there'd be any sort of role in that regard. We just didn't consider it. And then the first time we got one of these messages, it was from a 19-year-old kid who wrote in on our customer service email and said, "Hey, you know, I'm 19, I'm a college student. I have retinitis pigmentosa, and I've been sleeping a lot at college." And, you know, you think maybe that's not so weird. But then the next sentence he wrote, like, broke our hearts. He said, "You know, I'd rather be asleep dreaming in 20/20 vision than awake knowing that I'm going blind." And, you know, he went on to say that he had, you know, he had seen some of our content online. He had connected with some folks, you know, who are sort of regularly in our sort of online community, and he felt encouraged for the first time in a while. And, you know, it really breathed sort of a new life into this project, which is that, you know, we get to be messengers. We get to be representatives for these folks, for the people who are in our shoes. And that's been sort of a core element of the project.
Yeah. And as you know, Brad, that, you know, if you, that type of letter that you receive, that outreach, that really is, I mean, if that's not going to motivate you to kind of carry on, get up every day and try to make this project a success, because, you know, you're selling t-shirts and accessories, you know, that's not the goal here. It's really, you're trying to make an impact and give hope in people's lives. And, you know, the retail business is the vehicle for that. So it's a great message. And that, you know, I kind of want to shift gears a little bit and talk a little bit about, you know, we've kind of gone over the story a little bit. Let's talk a little bit about some of the cool things you're doing with the business. And I want to start with something you guys did in December. You launched the Shop Blind Challenge, which was really interesting on the two blind brothers website. You want to tell us a little bit about that initiative and then tell us a little bit about some of the feedback and what you're hearing from your customers on that Shop Blind Challenge.
Yeah. So this is awesome. It's one of first and foremost, it's going to kill me to do this. I actually have to give some credit to Brad. I try and save it once a year, but it's, you know, Christmas and it's the new year, and it's just, it's trying to make, you know, I try and give it to him early so he feels better.
It's a weak muscle. Don't pull anything over there. Don't pull.
Oh, yeah. I did feel an ache in my heart when I said it. When you're blind or you're visually impaired, one of the best tools that you have in your tool belt is trust. And you trust people in small ways all of the time. You know, you trust a cab driver to drop you off on the right street corner, or when you give the guy at the coffee shop, you know, some cash, that he gives you the correct change, because it's hard to see these things and you just trust in people to help you. And we wanted to give the shoppers at Two Blind Brothers, our customers, our community, kind of a crazy experience where they had the chance to trust us. So the idea was we were going to take down everything on our website, all of the products, all of the descriptions, basically just insult the graphic design team as aggressively as we could, and just have a black screen with four price points and the message of, will you shop blind? Will you buy something you cannot see and trust us? And it was fascinating because the first time we did it, it was over 2 weeks, and I thought, and I was like, oh, this will be a fun little media event, or it'll get some notice, but who's actually going to do this? And the incredible and profound part was the community, the responses, the excitement, and the joy that has come out of this experience has been absolutely overwhelming. We get, you know, we'll look on TikTok or YouTube or Facebook or Instagram. These people will do these reveal videos, and they'll explain the challenge. They'll open the box, and there's probably, I don't know, about 4 seconds of terror in my heart, because you don't know what they're going to say, and they just have the camera rolling. And then they come out with just all of the excitement and love and enjoyment for the experience and the product, which is almost indescribable how happy it makes you, because probably a lot of people listening to this, working in retail, working, we're building these brands, building these companies, putting your heart and soul into these products. When the person, the end consumer on the other side loves it, it's like your child has grown up. And that feeling of joy is just so incredible. And the experience has gotten us in front of so many awesome people. And it really has been absolutely transformative for our business.
And I think, Brian, and correct me if you guys see this differently, but I would imagine it speaks to the consumer behavior now. Consumers want to feel invested in a brand. There's so much out there that they can buy a shirt or, you know, from, you know, thousands of different places. They feel like, you know what, and this isn't specifically speaking to the Shop Blind Challenge, although it's part of it. You know, they're invested in the mission of Two Blind Brothers. They want to see, you know, their purchase dollars are going to a worthy cause. You know, do you feel that's kind of, you know, what you're seeing from your customers is that they're really invested in what you're trying to accomplish?
Yeah. You know, I think that takes us, this is Brad, that takes us very far. You know, the fact that people sort of like the story, they're willing to give it a shot. You know, obviously it's charitable. So, you know, that gets us a lot of, flexibility. You know, customers will say, yeah, worst case scenario, I've helped a good cause. So we certainly get that. You know, and I think from our perspective, we've been students of marketing since we've been sort of running this. And we most of the time we're looking back retrospectively and trying to figure out why something worked. And I think one of the things that we feel is that one thing is novelty counts for a lot, despite the great, you know, there's a great story and actually it's a great experience, but there's so much sameness, you know, amongst brands, especially during the holidays, where it's like, as a smaller company, we are not able to compete with every major clothing brand, retail brand, with a discount, a promotion. It's just, we're never gonna win that game. So we try to think about what is something that we can do that literally wouldn't make any sense for any other brand or retail brand to do. And those are where the best ideas, you know, come from. And Shopline definitely fits into that category.
So Brad, that's a perfect segue into the kind of the next question I wanted to address. You said you're both students of marketing. So I'm going to have a marketing question for you here. Obviously we've talked about the story and trying to get it, that story out there, create that consumer awareness for Two Blind Brothers. But as you noted, there's so much competition in the marketplace. There has to be a point of differentiation. Tell us a little bit about kind of the marketing strategy behind Two Blind Brothers and what you're doing to get that story aware out there, create that consumer awareness, drive the business. As you noted, it started as this small project for the two of you. Maybe take it to the next level. You don't have the unlimited funds of some of the competitors that you're going up against. You know, how do you build it kind of piece by piece, block by block, as you try to grow?
This is Brian, and it's an awesome question. And you know, the one nice part about you guys saying students is you're not actually giving the letter grade. One of us is performing better in school than others. No, but the fascinating part about today, more than 15, 20 years ago, if Brad and I wanted to start this project, we would have had to buy a massive amount of inventory and then go on a media blitz and get a Super Bowl ad to try and then compete on price versus quality to as large of an audience as possible. And it would have been super capital intensive and we probably would have failed. What's fascinating now, because of the rise of social and because of all of these platforms and the ability to get in front of people, as you know, our first video was with a Starbucks barista in Brad's old apartment in New York that we filmed in half a day. And what was so resonant that we've thought about it tremendously is the authenticity behind that. You know, these these very high emotion, very authentic and true stories. Because in today's world, and we see this all the time, facts have just become so incredibly fragile, and people without context, people just don't care or they refuse to believe it. And so we turn to the power of storytelling to try and express who we are and what our mission is and take it to that next level, as you said. And, you know, there's a great highlighting example for this is when we were first getting going, you know, we wrote an About Us page like every brand does. And it was kind of what I talked about earlier of, you know, giving money to the Foundation Fighting Blindness, Gunn Harrington Fund, finding early stage retinal researchers, so they can get from preclinical opportunities to commercialization opportunities so we can find the future of a cure. It was super factual and it was super boring. It was like Brad wrote it. I want to put that out there real fast, but it was just so boring. But the fascinating part was a lot of people reached out about it. Hey, why do you work with this researcher? How do you distinguish good preclinical versus bad preclinical? They just all had questions, but really no helpful opportunities. The cool part is we actually changed it to the story of 2 7-year-old boys who were diagnosed with a retinal eye disease and made it their mission to cure blindness through making incredibly soft shirts. And a gentleman reached out who said, hey, I have 35 years in the fashion industry. How can I help you? I don't know a ton about curing blindness, but I like what you guys are doing. Let me assist you. And the power of telling that story is so much more profound than trying to put out those facts.
Yeah, it's resonating on a personal level. Yeah, go ahead, Brad.
Oh, I was just going to add, you know, you were asking about the sort of the structure of it. I mean, our marketing strategy is pretty straightforward. So we start with a creative message with the understanding that if you don't rise above the noise of the 50,000 things that you're seeing, you know, on the internet, everything from your grandma's vacation video to, you know, an ad from the, you know, the biggest brands in the country, if you don't rise above the noise, you don't even get to start. And so that bar to come up with something creative, emotionally compelling, I mean, it has to have that before it has anything else. And then we leverage all the digital social platforms. We advertise heavily on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, Snapchat. And a lot of it is, you know, very typical stuff for anyone who's familiar with those platforms, the lookalike audiences and all the above. And then also what we found is, and we're lucky to have a lot of this, is user-generated content. So we'll often get videos, or there'll be videos posted of people sort of interacting and experiencing our product. And I think there's opportunity at this moment in time around a lot of this, quote, like underproduced type content. It lowers, you know, the viewers, you know, sort of BS meters when they can see somebody who's not an actor, who's genuinely, you know, enjoying their experience. So it starts with that creative. We do run pretty sophisticated strategy across across the sort of all the social ad platforms. We benefit from the fact that we don't do a lot of like direct sales content. We're never saying, hey, buy this shirt now for this percent off. It's usually in some sort of story form, some sort of, you know, compelling video that someone is going to remember and hopefully share with somebody else they know.
Yeah. And to follow up on that, I would imagine social, the forum that it lends itself well to that storytelling opportunity, right?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, there are, you know, one of the things we're always struck by is how much ad scale we can get on a platform like Facebook or Instagram, and how little we can get in something like a Google display ad, because it's hard, or Pinterest. There's just certain platforms that lend themselves to our strategy, which is you know, strong stories and strong, you know, sort of longer form video.
Yeah. So this has been a great conversation, and I'm going to close with this one, guys. So we're starting a new year. You know, we've kind of talked about, you know, building this brand from a small project into potentially something bigger and keep on growing. You know, lastly, what is your attention? Where are you guys focusing as you look to begin the new year and grow Two Blind Brothers, continue to just, you know, continue the momentum that you've created with the brand and take it to new heights almost? Where are you looking at?
Well, this is Brad. I have one, you know, before Brian jumps in ahead of me, I have one thing that might be relevant to some of your audience is one of the areas that we're focusing on now is a collaboration on this ShopLined experience. We, you know, one of the things that's limiting about ShopLined is we put all of our own products into these mystery boxes, and, you know, and it's can be more fun if there's sort of new things or unexpected things sort of in there. And I think one awesome thing we could do with that campaign is find somebody who has a, you know, sort of an existing customer base that's looking to do something kind of fun, you know, something to bring some energy. And I think what we're excited about too is that it's not just a goodwill campaign. The metrics are awesome. And so that's one thing we have on our list for next year is to find partners to do this with.
Yeah, that's a great point. Makes a lot of sense that the potential other retailers and brands might want to test this model. As to your point, it, not only is it a good story and the goodwill associated with it, but it's proving financially viable as well.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, I would actually, I'd add on that is to say, you know, looking at 2021, you know, we adore the ShopLine experience. It has just been going absolutely bananas for us. And we want to keep leveraging that experience as well as coming up with new, innovative and unique campaigns to try and, you know, capture that magic and create that exciting, authentically fun experience for consumers. And on the other side, on the community side, you know, which is, you know, tremendously important to Brad and I, is to stay as involved and ingrained in this community of visually impaired as we possibly could, connect with as many families as we can, try and inspire and empower as many people as we can. So, you know, which we take both as being kind of the top priority of keeping as much enthusiasm, energy, happiness, and hope in this community, as well as creating and innovating and pushing our consumer base forward.
Great. Well, I want to first off take this opportunity to thank Brad and Brian Manning of Two Blind Brothers for joining me today on Total Retail Talks, telling us the really inspirational story of their brand and all the good things they're doing in the world today and trying to make a difference in the lives of so many. So thank you, Brad and Brian. I appreciate it.
Thank you. We're grateful. And it's because of, you know, folks like you that we're able to, you know, get our message out there. So thanks for having us on, and we appreciate it.
Thanks for listening. For more information on this podcast, please check out our podcast channel page at mytotalretail.com/podcast for show notes. Total Retail Talks is available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify. Make sure to subscribe on our podcast channel page as well. If you've enjoyed this episode, please take a few moments to rate and review this podcast. Thanks, and until next time, this has been Total Retail Talks.